Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is your host, Brandon.
And I'm Q.
And guess what, y'all? Welcome to the King Me Podcast, man.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm glad y'all tuned in. And if you're a new listener, do me a favor. Make sure you hit the 5-star rating. Also, make sure you check out our social media page, man, KingMe_podcast. We definitely be posting certain stuff, and I think we got a link too attached to it. So if you would like, I would love for you to just basically go to the link, send any requests or any topic that y'all want us to talk about, man. Q, Kanye, my brother, how's everything, man? Welcome. I'm glad to see you.
Glad to see you too, my guy. Everything is. I know that sounds simple, but I have nothing to complain about. I have nothing new to actually really discuss, but everything good. Thanking God for that. So, you know, how about you? What you got going on?
Oh, man, I'm about the same way, still hitting the gym and everything else, man. I had made a mistake and went outside and went walking and realized I was plastered by that damn pollen out there, man. It got my head hurting. I don't know if you allergic to pollen or anything like that. Maybe it's an age thing, man. I promise you, I can remember being outside playing around this time of the year when I was a little younger. I ain't had no problem with no doggone pollen. Well, now I got a problem with pollen.
I hope I don't ever get sick, man, because I've seen that pollen be having people in the chokehold, man.
It do, man. So shoot, you said you ain't had nothing new. You wanna jump into the topic, man?
Let's go ahead.
Well, before we get into the topic, I got a story.
Okay, story time. Let's hear it.
I got a story, and then we're gonna jump into the topic.
Most definitely. We smooth.
So I remember a time where my dad used to work at this particular company. He used to work at this particular company, and he made a whole lot of money. Everybody know if you work at this company, you make a whole lot of money. So as I got older, I ain't really, you know what I'm saying, high school, I think I was 12th grade, getting ready to graduate. And I had asked my dad about, you know, putting me on, because I wasn't sure if I was going to go in the military or go off to school, you know what I'm saying? And I did end up going to like a technical school, but, you know, a lot of things kind of transpired and happened. So I asked Pops, I let Pops put me on at the job. And Pops told me, he said, son, I would love for you to get on at where I work at. He said, but I'm going to have to save you and myself, because I get you out there. And at this time, it was a bunch of, a whole lot of not us, you know what I'm saying, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a whole lot of black people. And during that time, I guess, it wasn't long ago. It was in the early 2000s. And, you know what I'm saying, it was, you know, a lot of white people out there, and it was racist. And he was saying to me that he wasn't ready for me to get on, you know what I'm saying, at the job, and then he had to curse somebody out and then lose his job. So basically, he said, nah, son, I would love to, but I can't do it, you know what I'm saying? Which, you know, hindsight, I look at it, I'm like, you know what I'm saying, he was protecting himself, and he was protecting me too as well from the criticism and everything that kind of come out of that, you know what I'm saying? So you kind of know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, bring it on, because I got a feeling I know where you're going with it, and I'm ready for you to come with it.
So today's topic, and I had wanted to start off with that story, you know what I'm saying? Today's topic, I wanted to talk about how LeBron James had approached Stephen A. about, you know what I'm saying, criticism of his son. But when I'm reading certain things, certain headlines and stuff like that, you got two different headlines. But the main headlines is he felt like Stephen A. was attacking his fatherhood, you know what I'm saying, when it came out of his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we know LeBron James in the past, you know, he real cryptic with certain things he say, but I think he always had a problem with certain media outlet coming up with certain storylines and stuff like that, just to push their agenda and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe Stephen A. Smith, he felt like he was doing that, you know what I'm saying, and creating this storyline. So the topic is today, man. Let's talk about how you feel about LeBron James approaching Stephen A. Smith and how he did it. And you think he was justified in doing it.
Okay. I like that. First off, I want to hear your opinion on it. What you think about it?
Because
I know you give LeBron a hard time. So
I do not give this man a hard time.
You give LeBron a hard time, so I want to hear what you got to say about it.
If you let me go, I'm going to go completely left. I'm going to be honest. Because the way I look at LeBron James, I'm going to break this down. And hopefully I can break it down in less than 5 minutes. Because, man, what I think about LeBron James, his whole life, you know what I'm saying, he was crowned the king. He the one who called himself the king. You know what I'm saying? Well, some people say no, other people gave him that name. But on the back of his back, he got the chosen one.
He took it and ran with it.
He
endorsed it. So
yeah, he did. And so, you know, with every king, with every king, I think it comes with a certain mindset. And I think certain kings, after you've been on top of your game for so long, you almost become invincible in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And I do see certain narcissistic ways that LeBron James had. And where I'm going with this is LeBron James knew his son wasn't ready to take on that type of criticism. And I just think that he did this out of act of him wanting to be the first basketball player. Just like he the first basketball player that, I guess, leading in points and everything, you know, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Now he had 50,000 points, which is crazy when you think about that out loud.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, with his narcissistic ways, I just think that, you know, he used his son as a way of being the very first father and son duo to ever play in the NBA game. And I think when you play in the game, I don't think he scored anything, but, you know, just kind of ran up and down the court, and then he left, you know what I'm saying? Then he got off, and then they sent him onto the damn G League, you know what I mean? So in my opinion, man, like, he used his own, and I don't think he actually see it like that way, you know what I'm saying? I think he used his son just to, you know what I'm saying, put him in that space where I had the first father and son reaction. With his son, with playing basketball in the NBA game, and how I look at it is he set his son up, and with everything else, I don't think he had planned that well. That's my opinion.
Okay, so I would have to agree with you about to me, LeBron did this, and this was a LeBron thing. I don't think it was a Bronny thing, like. What Melo and D-Wade did with their son is whatever happens, happens. We're not going to try to push a narrative. We're not going to try to control the narrative. LeBron tried to control the narrative. And in doing that, you open them up for criticism. Because last year either the year before last, LeBron made the statement. He was watching Bronny play, and Bronny was better than some of the guys that's in the NBA now. So when you do that, you putting a target on his back. LeBron also said, I'm playing with my son regardless of where he goes. You putting a target on his back. Because let's be honest, had anybody else's son averaged 4 points or 5 points a game in college, they're not getting drafted. I don't care about that second round 55th pick. You're not getting drafted averaging 4 or 5 points in college. You're not getting drafted. But since LeBron is LeBron, I mean, and rightfully so, he's made the organizations and made the NBA a lot of money. But when you do that, you got to understand, when you open them up like that, that's what come with the game. That's what come with the territory.
Mm-hmm.
So don't cry about it now. My thing is they're not going to be as hard on Bronny. They would have let him develop, but you went out there and said he's better than some of the players that's in there now. You made that statement. So it's just like LeVar Ball, how people used to get on him. Oh, LeVar is this, LeVar is that. Same thing goes for LeBron. It's crazy to me how the narrative changes when it comes to certain people. Me personally, I didn't have a problem with LeVar was doing it. I don't have a problem with LeBron doing it. But on the flip side of that, when you publicly say that kind of stuff, you better understand is some people that don't like you, and whatever they got to do is just like Deion Sanders. They don't like Deion. They don't like what assumes to be arrogance, which I don't think he's arrogant. He's confident. And if his confidence hurts you, then I mean you might need to grow. But it's just like him. They're going to take shots at his son because they can't get to him. But you should have prepared, Bronny, because this is what you coming into. You get paid millions of dollars. So they have people like Stephen A., other journalists that have to do their job. So they're going to critique you. And because of what I said and because of who I am, son, you're going to get it a little bit worse. Is it fair? I don't think it's fair, but LeBron opened it up. I mean, you can't get the cheers and not the boos. It is what it is. Now, he better be glad Stephen A. is who he is, because you ain't about to press me like that. And I feel like what LeBron did was weak in this aspect. LeBron, I've seen LeBron on the court going against people, and I've seen people try LeBron. LeBron don't book with certain people. I feel like he did that with Stephen A. Smith because he knew Stephen A. ain't going to really – he not gonna do nothing about it. So to me, that was weak from that perspective. Now, as a father, people want to bring the father thing into it. I don't really bring that into it, even though it's a big part, because the father is the one that opened up Pandora box. So, like, You can't try to come and use that now. And you done made it your point to say that your son was better than some of the players. Now we having a chance to look at your son, and he ain't what you said he was. So, hey, ain't no need to cry about it now.
You think, I guess, from the perspective of the camera angle and everything, and I ain't good at reading lips. So I don't know exactly what he said, but you know, Stephen A. kind of addressed what he said. He said that wasn't a basketball player approaching me, that was a father approaching me. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you think in LeBron James' eyes he was protecting his son?
LeBron wasn't fussing about the criticism of his son. LeBron was fussing at Stephen A. Smith from what Stephen A. said about his parenting. I don't know if that has so much to do. That's from what Stephen A. Smith said, because I watched him on Gil's Arena, and I watched a whole segment where he talked about it. And
how you felt about that? Like how he went on and did that whole spiel?
I felt like he was justified in doing that.
Yeah.
And I felt like a lot of the stuff he was saying was true, because like him and Rashad McCants been saying for the longest, when you open up that box and say, my son is better than the people that's in the league now, you started that. LeBron, you knew they're always waiting on you to make a mistake. It's just like with anything else in basketball. If LeBron goes in and drops 10 points in a game, that's going to be magnified. They're going to act like Jordan never dropped anything below 30. Bro, you know that's how it's going to be. So what you should have done was took the Melo and the D-Wade approach and sat back and let your son progression happen. Let his natural progression happen. You the one that basically control where he went. You controlling all the narratives. This narrative you can't control, because his play is going to control that narrative.
Yeah.
From what I see on the court, and they're not judging him as a person. They're doing their job. They're judging his basketball. And like Stephen A. said, when he don't go to high school games, he don't go to college games, because they're not professional athletes. He cover professional sports. He said nothing when those people were in those amateur sports. But when you get to the NBA, it's my job to cover it. And also, I have a job of making headlines. That's what I got to do. He said for the longest, he tried not to do it. But the Lakers kept him. Okay, after the first game, okay, cool. Everybody want to do the thing. Let's be honest here. If Bronny James wasn't who Bronny James was, he would have never seen the Lakers uniform after that first game. Everybody, like, the man averaged 4 points, 5 points. We're not talking about a 16, 17-point score. The fact that the Lakers keep on putting him out there, y'all opening him up for that criticism, because y'all could have been stopped the show, stopped the circus.
Nepotism.
Yeah.
Nepotism.
Now, and yeah. I'm going to be honest, I don't even want to go that far, because I feel like, and I'm just going to be honest, white people been doing it for years. My granddaddy was this, my daddy was this, now I'm in line for it. So I don't want to use the nepotism thing, because I feel like as a father, you work hard to put your kids in a predicament where they don't have to struggle the same way you had to struggle. I have no problem with him getting his son on the team. He's made the NBA a lot of money. He's made teams a lot of money. So if the least I can do for you is to put your son on the team, okay, cool. But after the circus of the first game and we got all the headlines out the way, we're going to go let him develop. Let him go to the G League and develop. Don't keep on throwing him back in the limelight, because now you're opening them up. You keep on opening them up.
Yeah. And I get that part with the nepotism. thing. You know what I'm saying? And I know white people been doing it a whole lot in different businesses and stuff like that. I'm reminded of this movie, man, one of my favorite movies, Gladiator. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Caesar, the regular Caesar. He had his son come right behind him. You know what I'm saying? But he knew his son wasn't ready, man, to take on that kingship. You know what I'm saying? His son wasn't ready. Actually, he wanted Maximus. Maximus to come and take his spot. Somebody that wasn't even in the family. You know what I'm saying? But he knew he had a heart for the people. You know what I'm saying? He fought war. He seen war. His son ain't never seen that. And in certain things, I think in certain people have to go through certain things to build certain character about them, to withstand certain criticism, certain backlashes and stuff like that. And I think, you know what I'm saying, when we as men don't prepare our kids for certain things, and it's kind of hard because you live in a good life, you know what I'm saying, you don't want your kids to kind of, you know what I'm saying, struggle the way you struggle. But I think as a father, and looking at how I kind of see things, I think it plays a role how we develop our kids, man, prepare them for the world, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm a little easy on you right now, but the world ain't going to be easy on you, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, certain people, I look at my son, it's certain things I know he ain't ready for, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I know LeBron James knew that too about his son, you know what I'm saying? I knew he knew that his son wasn't ready because it, you know what I'm saying, he didn't came up through the ranks from, you know what I'm saying, from high school, getting criticized to, you know what I'm saying, coming in the league in 2003. He, you know what I'm saying? His son ain't never been kind of had that pressure on his back ever.
But to me, it would have been okay, and the natural progression would have happened. Even with everything LeBron said, if y'all had just done that the first game, after the first game, let him go to the G League, whatever criticism, but y'all keep opening him up for that. But you got to, that, like you said, it's back to teaching. Heavy is the head that wear the crown. See, everybody see the glitz and the glamour and all of that. Y'all should have been talking about this, and I'm sure he has talked about it with him. Of course, we don't know everything that they do in their personal life, but you should have told him, like, hey, man, it's going to be some vultures out there. It's going to be some people that's waiting on you to have a misstep. It's going to be some people that's waiting on you to get crossed and fouled, get dunked on, miss 12 shots. It's going to be people waiting on that. But, son, this what come with the territory. Like, it's, like they asked the coach for Boston one year, they were talking about Jason Tatum getting criticized. He said he gets to get criticized. That's a privilege.
Yeah, that's a privilege.
That's a privilege. You think about it. Man, you getting paid millions of dollars to go out there and play basketball. That's a privilege that people talking about you. Because you could be unknown. They could be talking about you. Man, that dude Jason Tatum used to be. That dude Bronny used to. But they're talking about you in the present. It's okay. It's going to happen. And that's where, and I'm not going to say it's not going to ever get to anybody. I don't care how the mental fortitude you have. That is aggravating. That's annoying. But it's what comes with the territory. If you live for the applause, you're going to die by the booze. That's just how life goes.
Yeah, it's going to flow just like that. You know what I'm saying?
Because you can't think everything is going to be, oh, that's LeBron, and I'm happy for him. They hate you, LeBron. So if they hate you, they're going to hate what comes from you.
People do it heavily on social media. You just think about social media. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Putting yourself out there, man. Man, sometimes when somebody put out some content, to me, be some good contents, and then you look at the comments. I think the comments is what always, I look at the video and then go straight to the comments. Man, some stuff, boy, listen, it just one married couple I be looking at sometimes, man, they be making practical things. I think it's kind of funny. And the husband got this weird voice, you know what I'm saying? But, man, when you look on the comments, people just kind of pick out some of the insecure. It probably even insecure the little buddy for real. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he probably didn't heard it a time or two. You know what I'm saying, about his voice, but his face expression. And you know what I love about it is people comment on it and I can't even say, you know, they hating, but man, he do it even more. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I ain't gonna lie, I love that. Yeah, I'm gonna keep doing it.
Yeah, because for one,
you're gonna keep watching it.
If you commenting on it, even to joke on me, you're making my viewership go up. So if you right. if that's what you're gonna do, if you're gonna be a repeat offender, okay. That mean I'm gonna get you to tune in. Just so you can laugh at me. It's you could look at the glass half empty or half full. It's how you decide to look at it. Okay, they're commenting on my video and they making little smart remarks. But in the long, in the grand scheme of things, they're making my viewership go up. For whatever reason, you're doing it. Oh, you share my video trying to be funny? Yeah, you're making my interactions go up. So I'm looking at the glass like it's half full. So at the end of the day, when you that internet is a free world,
it is.
And they don't lose. So when you putting up stuff on the internet, when you going out in front of the public, you better understand something. It's people that sit, it's vultures out here. The same way the vultures, you see the buzzards and everybody that be flying, waiting on, when something die, you see how they start circling around. It's people just like that waiting on a mistake. So when it happen, they can go flop on it.
What they call people that always have opinion all the damn time? I forgot what they call people who always have opinion. Let me see. Yeah, let me look it up.
And see, but while you doing that, even those opinion things, opinion is like everything else. I mean, like, everybody has one. So, like I say, if you live for the cheers, you're going to die by the booze, man. Sometimes you just, I seen Lil Baby say something the other day. He said, I see, but I don't. I hear, but I don't. Yeah, I see what y'all saying, but I ain't going to pay you no attention. I ain't going to even. Some stuff, and it's very hard to do. Some stuff you want to respond to, but certain stuff you just be like, man, it is what it is. You can't respond to everybody that's saying something negative. So it is what it is.
I think that's what LeBron James said one time. I think after the 20, let me see.
You talking after they lost?
Yeah, and then
LeBron Clay, was so disrespectful for that.
Yeah, Clay said something, man. And then he said when they was when he was doing what'd you call it? When they be
the press conference?
Yeah, press. When he was talking, he said, and somebody in the stands, one of the reporters repeated what Clay said, and he said, oh, what he said? And then he was like, it's just so hard to take the high road. It's just so hard to take the high road.
It is.
But guess what? I'm gonna take the high road. And he thought about that when he went to Stephen A.
I get, what I didn't like about it is, if you're going to have that energy with Stephen A. Smith, I done seen people punk LeBron on the court. Please have that energy with everybody. Like, one thing I can say about the guys like Russell Westbrook, he don't show no favoritism. If he going to go off, he going to go off on it. Like, everybody gets it. It's like, like nobody, I don't like those people who have a, like, I'm going to say something to him because I know he ain't going to buck back. And then if you watched, I didn't notice until I watched Gil's Arena, he had one of the twins come stand beside Stephen A. Smith like he LeBron bodyguard or something. I don't even know if a lot of people caught that. LeBron didn't just go over there by himself. It's like maybe they had talked about it before the game, like, yo, I'm gonna go say something to Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
And he went and stood by him like they big dogging him. Man, couldn't have did that to me because we would have turned that game out. I'm just being honest. We would have turned the game out.
Hey, that's a bad thing. I ain't gonna lie. Like, who y'all?
Yeah. We was gonna take it all the way there.
Y'all pressing me like this?
You're not pressing me. Like, now we could have a respectable conversation. You know, I'm not above reproach. If you don't like something that I did, okay, I understand. But don't have your goon come stand by me and you think you about to, no, we ain't, I don't play like that.
Yeah, I agree. What you think, like, as of now, like, after all this right here, because I guess we kind of agree on the same thing that LeBron James, he could have took a different approach like that.
You mean, does it help Bronny or hurt him?
Yeah, you think this going to, affect his development as a player, it may be good or bad.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Bronny really pays this stuff no attention, to be honest. I think this is a moment. I'm sure by the end of next week, there'll be another moment that we're talking about. Like, stuff happens so fast on social media and in the world nowadays. It's not like it used to be where things are happening and it's sitting there for weeks and months and, bro. We're on to the next story next week, maybe the next day. So this is nothing. This is a one raindrop in the bucket. Like this just the story for this week. Next week it'll be another story.
It definitely gonna be another.
I don't think this does anything for Bronny or to Bronny. Bronny probably he's still gonna do what he's doing and hopefully carve out a good career. I mean, I don't want him to fail. Hopefully he carves out a good career, but this ain't no sweat off him. Nobody cares about this. This is only a story for this week.
It is. And I'm gonna probably pivot a little bit, but it's still gonna be on the same topic though. You know what I'm saying? Like parents who, because I see it all the time on social media, and just kind of go, you know, correspond with each other. You know what I'm saying? Parents who always come to their kids' rescue all the damn time, man. Never leaving them to develop. You know what I'm saying? And I hate this. I'm gonna bring up my example, like my sister. You know what I'm saying? And love you, sis. I ain't talking about you, but I'm using this as an example. Just letting you know. But we were selling some Girl Scout cookies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did tell a story about my niece had, she was trying to send $1,800 to her mama cash out
right.
Because she was tired of selling Girl Scout cookies. But when I told my sister about it, because she called me first and was like, Brandon, you meant to send me $180? And I was like, no, I said, I ain't send you no money. And then long story short, man, basically I told her, I said, when I look at my cash out, I said, listen, little niece is saying that to you. Send that back. You know what I'm saying? Say, I need right. that. I'm going to need that. And she said, she don't know how to use no, you know what I'm saying? She don't know how to do nothing like that, send no cash out. Like, she went, you know, like, basically she wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? And you have parents that they really don't be believing their kids be doing stuff, man. They be, not only don't believe their kids do certain stuff, you know what I'm saying? They go out to the schoolhouse and their kids be acting a certain type of way. They always trying to save their kids, man, every time. And I think from one aspect, and the reason why I kind of brought all of this together, man, I truly believe we have a lot of parents, mostly mothers, who always go out, you know what I'm saying, to the schoolhouse and be thinking their kids don't be doing that, coming to their kids' rescue. But at the end of the day, I think it's kind of hurting them in a sense, you know what I'm saying? And kids so smart, they use that to their advantage.
I think
Lord knows my son do it. He used to try to do it.
I think this is we're gonna go surface level with this. I think it's what you said, it hurts them. It's kind of a tricky subject because you don't just want to get into the habit of like, oh, I know my child did this, but you also don't want to get into the habit of just saying like, I know my child didn't do this. My mom was more of the type of mama like, we're going to get to the bottom of it. I ain't saying you did, I ain't saying you didn't, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. I think when you go in, like you have a good intuition of what your kid will do, but you know what they would do when they're with you. Now, when they get around other influences, that's when it get a little bit different. Because I'm going to be honest, when I was younger, I liked to curse. I ain't about to curse in front of my mama.
Right.
But if my teacher called and said I was at school cursing, more than likely she ain't lying. Because when I get with my friends, you would probably be like, man, how that young fella know how to put them words together? Because I know how to put it together. But my mama wouldn't come to the school and, oh, I know my son don't do this. She knows her son. She knows her child. But I feel like when parents just automatically assume, like, my child don't do this, my child don't do that, you're opening them up because nobody can tell them anything. Because they know that you're going to come whether they're wrong. And then a lot of kids are very manipulative. Mm-hmm. Once they kind of check and see like, okay, my mom believe everything I say. You start seeing them do a little bit more. You're like, okay, wait a minute. My child is kind of manipulating me. I think it's very hard to, that's why I say parenting is very hard because that's not an easy thing to balance. Like you don't want to just say my kid won't, but you don't just want to say they did. But like, I think just knowing your child and just take the approach of I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Don't just come in leaning one way or another. You can have your opinion, but your child needs to see you say I'm going to get to the bottom of it. They don't need to see, oh, my child ain't, because too much of that, your child going to be something else, and it ain't nothing good. But like I said, around my mama, you may never hear me curse, but around them friends,
yeah,
I put that thing together. Now I'm telling you.
Man, I'm sitting here reflecting on some stuff, man, and I'm going to just say it. I think And nowadays with social media and everything else, man, it's a whole lot of pressure on really everybody, you know what I'm saying? Social pressure, more so on the kids, and how they develop, because they, you know what I'm saying, looking at other people's appearances and stuff like that, and that kind of help form who they are, you know, so to speak. But more so when I kind of think about, like, you know, developing kids, man, I don't really think parents know how to parent, you know what I'm saying, or develop their kids, man. They still trying to figure life out themselves, you know. And I'm gonna be honest, man. Like, me as a father, just being honest, you know what I'm saying, sometimes I have some challenges even with trying to figure out my own career, you know, and then also got a daughter and a son, and try to help develop them, so to speak, and still trying to figure things out, you know, for the family as a whole. You know, sometimes some stuff do slip through the cracks sometimes, you know what I'm saying, to be honest. And, like, if I can be honest, you know, I can do a whole lot better with, you know, developing my son into the man he's becoming, you know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, allow him. See, the thing is, allow him to make his own mistakes, and then asking him, you know, what you could have done better, you know what I'm saying? I always doing like that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, what you think you could have done better, you know what I'm saying? And for me, when I think about stuff like that is, you know, that kind of, you know, make him think, you know what I'm saying, by his actions and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? And one thing I also do realize too, man, with kids and stuff like that, you always gonna have to repeat yourself. And it's funny you had said something about how you used to curse. Man, listen, one day I was outside, you know, I came home, my son was in the room playing a video game with his friends and stuff like that. Man, that boy was cursing up, storm boy. He was cursing so bad. I said, who you talking to? Like, you know what I'm saying? Who on the mm-hmm. other end, you know? And he got his cousins and stuff on the other end. They doing the same thing, cursing each other out, man. I'm talking about, like, boy had sound like a whole grown man.
Man, that game bring it out you, man. That game will bring it out you.
And I'm sitting here, I ain't let him know it was funny, but because I had to go in dad mode. But mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, I went in the room, man. I just kind of laughed to myself because some of the stuff he was saying, like, I was shocked as hell. Like, he was putting the words together like that.
But that's why, as a parent, you can never say what your kid won't do, because up until that point, had you heard him curse before?
I ain't never heard him curse.
Up until that point, you would probably think, like, yeah, my son don't really curse, you know. But to hear that, like, man, what up, boy, really putting it together. So there's no telling what your child would do outside of your eyesight. That's why it's always good to be, you know, in tune with kind of like how your child is, like, knowing their characteristics. But you're not going to know everything because, like, yeah, I said, right, in front of you, I'm not about to sit up here and just put no stuff together in front of my mama or my daddy. I ain't about to do that, but I know when I get to that school, I know what I'm about to do. Or when I get with my homeboys and my cousins, I already know what I'm going to do, especially on the game. So to what you were saying earlier, you know, I think parenting, man, is no manual for it. So, man, you live and you learn, man. Trial and error, really and truly. You just pray to God, like, it's not an error that's gonna be so costly that it's, like, super detrimental to your life. And part of the thing is this too. Raising kids is our programming, and I think where we mess up at nowadays, a lot of people not raising their kids. They have kids, they got a roof over their head, but they're not raising kids. The Bible said, "Bring up a child in the way that they should go." We're just kind of like, we in the house with them. No, okay, when you come home from school, you had a good day. Yeah, my day was good. What made your day good? Let's get to the, like, what's going on in your child? Like, they're not in their kid's business. I heard a story this week of a child getting bullied. I think the child ended up killing himself, getting bullied.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. did where was the adults in the situation? Did you notice that your child behavior changed? Did you notice that? And I'm not criticizing anybody, but, like, did you notice, like, I kind of, like, wondered that to myself, like, could you see the change in your child? Like, because you got to be going through some stuff to actually say, you know what, I think it'd be better if I just took my own life as a child.
Man, he was real young, though. Like, I would like to say it was middle school or high school. don't know if it was.
Either way it go, though, man. We ain't face. Like, I don't know what the guy was facing. I don't know the story. But, like, when I just hear that from kids in general, normally kids ain't going through no. They ain't got to worry about their house getting taken. They're not worried about that kind of stuff.
Social pressure.
Right. They, like, but as parents, are we not checking into that kind of stuff? Like, are you noticing that your child, like, did they change? Like, it's a lot of stuff that run through my mind. So, like when you have kids, man, I'd be like, be in your kids' business. I don't believe in that, all that, you know, I just give them their own. I understand privacy and all that, but nah. Like, what you got going on? Like, what's up? And that comes also, too, with, as a parent, you know, making your kids feel comfortable talking to you about anything. Because one thing about my mama, she might fuss a little bit, but we could come talk to her about anything. At any point in time in our life, we could come talk to her about anything. And she's always made it where she had an open-door policy. If you got something going on, let her know.
It's easier for a child to talk to their mother than their father.
I agree.
I don't know why.
No, I don't agree. It's easy for me to talk. Like, my daddy is so cool. It's certain stuff that I probably talk to with my daddy that I won't talk to about with my mama. That's just my...
Talking about as an adult?
No, even as a child, there were certain stuff that I would talk to my daddy about that I wouldn't talk to my mama about. And that's just... I don't know why. Like, I feel like we had pretty good meals in our... That made us feel comfortable. Like, hey, come talk to me. Like, yeah. My mama was the same way, but I ain't really want to. And when you're that young, the most topic that's probably off limits is women. Like, I ain't really felt comfortable talking to my mama about women stuff like that. So I go talk to my daddy, my uncles, my granddaddy. Like, I talk to those guys about stuff like that. But my mama we were always able to go and talk to her about it. Just I felt more comfortable talking to my daddy and my uncle.
Yeah,
and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, when I think about stuff like that, even with my son, he don't as easy going as I am, you know what I'm saying? Some stuff he ain't going to talk to me about. And a lot of things he'll talk to his mama about, and she kind of update me about what, you know what I'm saying, he kind of talk about. And then we'll kind of go out, you know what I'm saying, like either we grab something to eat or, like, go to the arcade. Something that we just ride out, and then we'll
you
just
ever
talk
ask him
about.
Why though?
Yeah, he ain't never really say. I mean, he at that age, sometimes I can be a little pushy at times. I know both my kids say I can kind of do too much. I can do too much. Maybe I have a big personality, but he have a big personality too. You know what I'm saying? Like my son and so. I don't know. I ain't never judged him, but he never really can give me an answer to where. But I do realize, like, in certain stages with parenting, man, it's especially during this stage, I'm the father that corrects. You know what I'm saying? Especially during this stage, as he get old and mature, you know what I'm saying? Then me and him can have a different level of conversation. You know what I'm saying? But right now he's still like, you know, in child mode and, you know what I'm saying, grooming up. So maybe he look at me as an enforcer, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm more so an enforcer. And when I come, you know what I'm saying, when I come in and, you know, if even when the same energy that I give him when I'm disciplining him is the same energy I give him when he do something good and I praise him, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just recognize, like, as a father, you know what I'm saying, I do the, you know what I'm saying? I'll be honest. His mama could do the exact same thing I do, and he's still going to go back to her and love on and talk to her. Me as a father, I do it, you know what I'm saying? It just hit different. You know what I'm saying? I just think, now when I look at it, I don't know if it's my approach or my tone, but even at work, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I say something, you know what I'm saying? If I say something to somebody, I listen to them, and I be direct with them, and I say what I say, you know what I'm saying? People are going to feel some type of way. If I do that with my siblings, you know what I'm saying? I don't judge, I listen. But when I say something, like, for some odd reason, you know what I'm saying, they end up feeling some type of way. You know what I mean? And I kind of, you know, I didn't embrace that side of me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think at a certain point, that. You have to, because that's just, like, everybody want to pillow. Everything ain't going to be soft and just tailor-made to you. Like, so I, I'm... I'm one of those type of people myself. Like, I'm never saying anything to really like hurt you. But if the truth, if the truth brings you conviction, then that's not me that you're mad with. That's the truth that you're mad with. It just came through me, and I try to, you know, I pray for discernment on how to speak with people and how to deal with them. But sometimes even that, you know, they're gonna feel some type of way. It is what it is.
It is.
But I guarantee you, my bad. I guarantee you this. If something was to happen to you and you was to, God forbid, you was to die, I guarantee you they'll say, hey, one thing I can say about B, when he said something, he meant it. He was firm on his word. So they might not like it. They might not. But I'm sure when you say something, they'll go and think about it like, yo, I'm mad with him right now. But he went wrong.
Yeah, they're gonna come back around. And this right here happened to me, man, when I first started going to the church I was going to. My pastor, he had got on me about something. And when I say got on me, he said something that I didn't necessarily agree with. And then he was a little bit more, he said it in a way where, you know, I kind of took offense to it. You know what I'm saying? But he was very respectful. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't had came to the church for like another 2-3 weeks. And then when I came back, you know, we was talking and stuff like that. And then, you know, he said, man, I'm looking for you, man. What happened? You know, I kept it 100 with him. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't like how you had came at me last time. You know what I'm saying? He said, okay. He said, I respect your honesty. He said, but he did tell me that this is a level of immaturity. You know what I'm saying? That's shown. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When you get you offended by something, then, you know, you don't want to deal with somebody. That's a level of immaturity. That's why I kind of recognize when I'm talking to people and dealing with people, when somebody come to me with something and then I say certain things, because I can be a little bit more, a little direct in my approach sometimes and straight to the point. And somebody feels some type of way. And then next few days at work, they just kind of try to avoid me. I ain't going to lie. Like, I laugh to myself, you know what I'm saying? But I'm always, when they get ready to come back and talk to me, it's just going to, I ain't going to have, you know what I'm saying? My energy always going to be the same, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to bring it up. I ain't say nothing. I'm just going to carry on.
And see, that's where
I'm
different at. If you feel some type of way with me and you decide you ain't want to kick with me no more, you ain't got to say nothing. You can avoid me. I'll let you avoid me for a little minute. But yeah. I'm going to say something. I'm going to say, I know you got mad when I said what I said the other day. But I ain't changing what I said. Yeah. I said, we still cool, but I ain't changing. Like, so with me, I'm like this, man. If you come to me with something, most people, when they come to you, they're not really looking for advice. They're looking for, like, confirmation. So if I say, hey, B, man, I've been spending all my money in food. I've been spending all my money in food, man. Tell me I ain't wrong for that because you got to eat. They technically won't be to say, nah, man, you right. So what I do is I ask you, I say, you want me to tell you what you want to hear or you want me to tell you the truth? And once you say you want the truth, I'm going to break it down for you. And if you ever tell me anything other than that, well, I really ain't got no opinion on it. I'm just not going to give you an opinion because I'm not about to lie to you and I'm to try to make you feel good. And I'm the same way. If I did something or I'm doing something, I'm not coming to you. If I'm talking to you about it, I'm not coming to you for you to tell me what I want to hear. I don't need no yes man in my corner. That's like with women. Like, dudes that go and get a weak woman that's yes, yes. I can't stand women that's a yes, yes woman. No. Have a rebuttal. If I say something that you don't agree with, let's talk about it. Like, if I say, hey, we need to do this with our money, and you see something else and see another way, like, you can have an opinion. So I can't have nobody around me with a yes mentality. So I don't deal like that. And I understand, like, because I am the way I am, like, a lot of times stuff go on, I won't even know about it until, like, my brother tell me, he'll be like, hey, man, blase, blase, blase. I'm like, yo, nobody even told me anything. He was like, yeah, I been new. I was like, well, but it's cool because
that's funny.
If you don't want the truth, then don't come talk to me. Because I'm not, no, yes, man, I'm not going to ever just tell you what you want to hear. Because my thing, I do everything out of love. I'm never telling you something like, because I want you to go about, no, it's out of love. I'm not trying to badger you, but if you feel down, if the truth convicts you, I cannot help it. I can't help the truth convicting you. Like if somebody be like, yo, if somebody was doing drugs and they're like, yo, you need to quit doing drugs. Man, that dude make me mad, man. I want to talk about his drugs. Well, that ain't him that's making you mad. That's the truth convicting you because you know really and truly you need to stop doing it. So I done got to the point where like, hey, I'm going to ask you the question. Hey, you want me to tell you what you want to hear? You want me to tell you the truth? Once you say the truth, hey, you get what you get. I ain't gonna never just butt in your business and give my opinion out of just, you know, just because I feel what I say is right. No, just don't ask me if you don't want to know the truth. So that's just how I am. But when it comes to the kids, like, I guess if I was a parent, I would probably think, like, my child gonna get mad with me, but I'm still always prepare them and still tell them the real.
Yeah, that's another thing. People be wanting to be friends with their kids and stuff like that, man. And I think even being friends with your kids that come at a certain age, a certain maturity level age, in my opinion. You can't, you know what I'm saying? You can't really start off, you know what I'm saying, when they're young in the development years and trying to be their friends.
Because it's got to be, it's got to be some respect for authority.
Right.
That's number one. Like, we got to respect authority. Like, there, and I feel like a lot of times with parents, and I'm just speaking off experience of my mama and my daddy and us, like I said, even with the open door policy, there was an authoritative thing where we knew, hey, we don't play with these people. Now, later on, as we got older, like, the relationship dynamics changed. But early on, let me raise y'all and train y'all up the way that y'all should go. It ain't no, my mama calling us, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, my daddy, yes, sir, no, sir. So we learned that kind of stuff early. And it goes with us throughout our whole life. But I think early on in life, it has to be a more of an authoritative thing, because that's just, you got to learn some type of respect for authority. That's why you could have a child get stopped. That's why when people get older, they don't have no respect for authority. That's why they can tell an older lady that's telling them, an elderly lady that's telling, hey, pull up your pants, son. She ain't telling you nothing wrong. Who you talking to? Nah, you don't respect authority.
Yeah, that's a problem, man.
Yeah, that's why they don't respect authority. So I think, like, you're doing a great thing. Like, when you, and even if your kids don't really rock with it, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's your charge by God to raise these kids up in the way that they should go. I don't care about the charge for my kids. Your charge by God is to train your child up in the way that they should go. So even if your child don't truly care for it, they'll understand as they get older. Because I've had to go back and tell my mom, like, I'm glad you raised us the way that you did, because that kept me out of jail. That kept me from being dead right now. That kept me from doing some things that I probably would have done had I not had your guidance and knowing, like, if I did it, this was going to be the action behind it. So they'll respect it at the end of the day. When they get older, they might not even respect it right now. But I guarantee you, as they see the world progress and as they see things go on, they'll come back to you about some of the same stuff and be like, Dad, I'm glad you did that.
Hopefully, I would say hopefully, because sometimes I be thinking, sometimes with certain people in my family, in my particular family, you know what I'm saying, they'll think on that level. But for some people, man, they just can't really see the world that way, man. Like, they still kind of stuck. But,
yeah, for those people, I don't care. As far as your kids, that's different scenario. It's them adults that's like that. Hey, y'all gonna be what y'all gonna be. Y'all gonna do what y'all gonna do. And that ain't no sweat off my brow. But it's just because the situation came to me and I was asked to speak on it. I spoke on it. But anything other than that, I don't care what y'all do. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah, man. Dad, I was gonna take a little another spin. I don't think we got enough time to take the spin. How can we set our kids up for success, and just making the spin off of, you know, LeBron and Bronny thing. A lot of people have done it in the past of setting their kids up, try to set their kids up with success. But I think the development part, you know what I'm saying, we can't sleep on the development part in the very beginning. You know what I'm saying, setting them up, train a child in the ways where they shall not go out the park. You know what I'm saying? I think I said that right. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, you got in anything you want to add in? Last remarks, anything like that?
Just for my last remarks, man, you know, when you're dealing with kids, when you're dealing with your kids, I'm not going to just say kids, when you're dealing with your kids, you got to understand the charge by God is for you to train them up in the way that they should go. So even if they're not feeling it, even if they don't like it, it is what it is. Your charge, you have to answer for that. That's your charge by God. It ain't no charge by your kids liking you, none of that. Hopefully they do like you, but, you know, that's your charge by God. Train them up. Stop just letting them just coast through life. No, life don't work like that. Train them. Teach them something. Instill something in them.
And we all know with training, no one actually like training. Well, the trainer training, you know what I'm saying, the trainee the trainee ain't never, I don't know nobody in history love training.
Right, you know your body don't even like to be, your mentality don't even like being trained because it molds you into shape. Yeah. If you ever go to the gym, you ever start that whole process of starting, man, your muscles feel tight, you can't hardly walk. So training something is never an easy thing. Even if you're the trainer, you seeing people crying, you seeing people about lose it, but you know that we're pushing to get to a greater goal. So at the end of the day, as the trainer, you still got to do your job.
Still got to do your job. I agree. Yes, sir. Hey, you want to the music. The last little part, yeah. My bad. Yeah, but yeah, man, listen, I think this was an awesome topic, man. And I appreciate, man, listen, I appreciate the in-depth conversation that we always have, man.
Yes, sir. Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, if y'all made it to the end, man, we appreciate y'all. Listen, continue to do your best, and don't worry about the naysayers or the critics, man. Just keep doing your thing, man. You're getting close to your goal. You know what I mean? And this is your host, Brandon.
And I'm Q.
And we out.
Yes, sir.